Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hello, welcome back to The Follow-Up Podcast. Sean and Crystal here, pastors at Life Community Church.
Yeah, started a new series this week.
Yeah, it's Advent.
Happy Advent.
Happy Advent. It's already December, what are we, second?
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's cold out.
It is cold out. It's like my favorite time of year. Sunny and cold is the best.
I said the same thing this morning.
Yeah.
I do this every day.
Yeah. As long as it's sunny. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
But so we're jumping into the Advent season. Was thinking about, you know, Advent in general. So when I was a kid, I didn't have any idea what the church calendar was, or the Christian calendar, I should say.
Yeah.
Never I grew up in church, you know, and all things, but we never celebrated Advent or Lent or any of those things. And so I thought maybe we could just get started this morning and be like, hey, what is the Christian calendar?
Yeah.
And why do we maybe observe certain seasons of it? We're not we don't organize our whole church year around the Christian calendar completely.
Right.
But there are some significant seasons. So I'll just hit you with a question first.
Sure.
What is the Christian calendar?
Yeah. The Christian calendar it represents the story of God and then the story of God's people. And it's cyclical. So it kind of the calendar, if you were to look at a picture of it, it's a circle because it's always in motion. And it represents the different seasons or times, periods of time throughout the church that we pause to remember. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're more familiar with Advent or Lent leading into Easter, but there are other parts of the church calendar that are present as well.
Yeah. So maybe just kind of walk us through a real quick overview.
Sure. So you start the calendar, the church calendar year with Advent. We said that on Sunday.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year, everyone. And then that actually takes us up to Christmas. So Advent's a season of anticipation, mm-hmm. and it takes us up to Christmas. And Christmas is actually its own season on the church calendar. And that's when we celebrate the incarnation of Christ. And then after that is Epiphany, and that's this revelation. And so, you know the song, the 12 days of Christmas?
Right.
That's actually a part of the church calendar. And so for anyone that's wondering, why would I keep my Christmas tree up past Christmas? Well, technically, there's 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah. Is that what's called Christmastide?
Yeah,
okay.
Christmastide. So, you can leave your tree up. Also, that's probably why we didn't start putting our trees up until after Thanksgiving is because if they were live trees, they would definitely be a fire hazard by the end of Christmastide. But yeah, it's the celebration period. So you don't just rush through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Christmastide is Epiphany. And we'll talk more about that in the new year.
Yep.
But that's this kind of revelation. What's God doing and what is new on the horizon because of the incarnation.
Is that also kind of where Epiphany is, that they celebration of when the wise men from the east show up at the manger scene?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how we picture it.
Right.
It was technically, it was probably a couple of years later that they showed up.
But. Yeah. Pointing to this new reality that's coming. And that season basically takes you up to Lent. And, there's a Catholic calendar and all sorts of different things, but this is kind of the Christian, more to our tradition that takes you right up to Lent, which is the season of, again, this waiting period and this, as we lead into the crucifixion of Christ, and it's, fasting and prayer,
repentance.
So we kick that off with Ash Wednesday here. Usually traditionally we have a service and then just a focused time of repentance and confession. And then again, us waiting for, what's coming and the crucifixion. And then we celebrate Easter and the resurrection of Christ. And then we have Pentecost.
Yeah.
The ascension of Christ.
And that time between Easter and Pentecost is typically called Christmastide. It's called Eastertide.
Eastertide,
right? Yeah. We're just celebrating the resurrection. Yeah.
Again, it's not something, culturally, we rush through things. You know, like Christmas is over, pack everything up and move on. And this part's over and pack up and move on. And the Christian calendar really does invite us to slow down, to really see the story of God and then where we are at within that story. And yeah, so the Eastertide goes to Pentecost. And so if you were looking at the circle picture, all of those things are at like the top of the circle, and that's a story of Jesus. And then after Pentecost, on the bottom half of the circle is called Ordinary Time. And that's just the story of the people of God. And so, and that takes us all the way back around to Advent again.
Yeah. And Pentecost is the celebration or the remembering the giving of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So that's a fun, yeah. We don't talk about maybe that one even as much as, as we should, but, and sometimes it does feel like the church calendar, or you could call it liturgical calendar. It doesn't always match up with the, you know, our traditional calendar. And part of that, I think, is to remind us that we belong to someone else.
Yeah.
Like our story is wrapped up in our identity is in who Christ is, and it should look a little different. And so I think it's just a good reminder, like, hey, we're not of this world. Like, we're in this world and we function according to January, February, March, but our calendar, our identity, where our rhythm comes from is because of who we are as a people of God.
Yeah. I think I said something about on Sunday is like, it is another way that we orient our lives around God's life, around Christ's life. Right. And that we are the people of God. And so exactly like you just said, like we are in the world, we're not of it. Like we orient our lives around a different rhythm.
Yeah.
And so like for me, it's been, you know, like I said, I don't know what you used to do as a kid, but you know, that wasn't part of my like rhythm, even though I grew up in church, but kind of trying to incorporate like that into my own life, trying to incorporate that into the life as we lead, you know, Life Community Church and what that looks like to not be like legalistic about it, but like, hey, how do we take hold of those things and those seasons where we live into celebration or we live into repentance, you know, or we live into like, the remembrance part of all those things. And that's just been meaningful. I think even as I get older and do it more often, it's becoming more and more meaningful to me.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, as a part of the Church of the Nazarene, maybe we haven't focused on these things as much. I don't remember this as much growing up either. But as soon as I learned about it as like a young adult, it was just, it became really fascinating for me and it became really meaningful for me. And so I've just appreciated, like just adding little piece, maybe each year adding something new into like a regular rhythm. I think it's been really cool for our kids to kind of see that and kind of learn. And so it's just, again, not something to be legalistic about, but I think it does have a cool purpose that can help us lean into spaces and slow down in ways that maybe we otherwise wouldn't.
And it's been around since 4th, 5th century or so. So it's not necessarily like this was practiced in the days of Christ, but as the church grew and matured, like the Big C church, you know, they developed different ways of like, hey, how do we like orient our lives around? And this was a way that was instituted, you know, back in, like I said, I think it's 4th century, 4th, 5th century. And that's been practiced in more like liturgical traditions. But we're learning to incorporate more of that now in kind of the evangelical tradition. And so.
Yeah, I think they looked at the story of scripture and were like, hey, there's actually some rhythm here and some seasons here. And what would it look like to create a calendar that recognizes that? Like even in ordinary time, there's different feasts that are celebrated, like the All Saints Day and that and then Trinity Sunday. And so there's different things that happen in scripture. And then they've just kind of created a calendar around it.
Yeah. And they can, I mean, we could pull from even, you know, from the Jewish tradition in terms of how they organized really their calendar around different feast times and pilgrimages and things like that. So, so Advent has four themes to it, right? So, we talked about hope this week. We'll get back to that in a minute, but three more:
hope, peace, joy, and love.
Okay. Yeah. And they kind of walk through the different ways that Christ, you know, use the word incarnation, which means in the flesh, that Christ incarnates hope and peace and joy and love into our lives. And
so,
it's a fun season.
Fun season as a church. You know, every year you're like, well, it's the same thing over and over again, but I'm always discovering something new, not just, you know, maybe in scripture, but like, what does that mean to me this year? You know, what does hope mean to me this year that maybe, you know, I didn't sense that last year, or it's like, you know, everything is new each year if we're willing to like sit with it a bit. And so, yeah, it's the same story, right? But at the same time, there's always something new for us to receive.
Yeah. We talked about how the simple Christmas story can become profound again. And that, that takes intentionality, right? Like, cause we can easily just kind of zip through the seasons and it's like, hey, Christmas was awesome and amazing. And on we go to 2026, right? And how do we allow the simplicity of it to become simple? I mean, to become profound again. And I, you know, I was thinking as we craft, you know, sermons, the temptation oftentimes for me, at least I'll speak for me, is that I want to say something profound. And that's this temptation that I have every week to sound smart or whatever, you know, and, learning again, I think, especially in seasons like this, to let like the gospel speak for itself. And like, there is something profound in the simplicity of, a simple message on hope, right? And you're gonna preach on peace next week, but rediscovering again, like that we are a people of hope, and don't always feel hopeful, but you know, that how do we hold on to hope as Hebrews talks about, as an anchor for the soul, right? That's firm and secure. And so when I was writing this week or this last week. I was like challenged again by like the people of Israel, right? And their story through the scripture of like, they were like centuries, like holding on to like literally like, you know, we talk about this 400 years of silence. I mean, you know, like how long have we even been in existence as a country, right? Like a couple hundred years. And yet like, they're like twice that they're, where is God?
Generations of wondering.
And so maybe like, again, I know we talked about this even on our podcast on optimism, your message. So, you know, this week was kind of like a tag along to what you talked about in terms of like the theology of hope and how we as a church live into optimism. But what does it look like maybe to hold on to hope? And we sang that cool song, you know, love that Hope on the Horizon song that we sing this time of year, but just kind of throw that out there of like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think for me, it, you know, the anchor imagery is really great because it doesn't really matter what's happening on the surface. You know, the boat is going to be going everywhere, right? If you just have this picture in your head, it's being tossed around in the storm, whatever, but the anchor doesn't budge because it's holding it steady. And so when I'm thinking about my own personal, you know, situations that, or life and just general, like feel like I'm tossed around sometimes. And when I picture like my hope being an anchor, I'm just reminded that no matter what happens, no matter what is going on, no matter what happens in my life, that thing is not moving. That my relationship, who God is to me and what Jesus has promised to do, again, with this eternal picture in mind, that doesn't change. And that's what holds me steady. Like that will not go away. Nobody can take that away from me. I've placed my hope in Christ, and that will not ebb and flow. Like who he is constant. And to have that eternal perspective in mind, sometimes it's hard, right? You're like, well, that's great. Someday it's going to be great. Right now is hard. And that is hard. Like that takes, again, intentionality to say whatever happens, this is going to hold firm, and I can trust him with that.
Yeah. You talked about last week in the podcast about like this world is not all there is, right? That we have this perspective that says, you know, that this anchor is not necessarily for all the things that will happen in this lifetime, though like that's part of it. Like we expect God to show up. I was thinking about like that imagery again, and this like for me, like holding on to hope, like I have to remember to anticipate, like, yeah. like what am I anticipating and what am I eager about? And a lot of times when I read the Christmas story, I like to think about like the side characters, right? Obviously Jesus is like the central character,
yeah.
but thinking about, you know, we shared a little bit from Zechariah on Sunday and, you know, his kind of prophecy about John, about Jesus. And then I love the story. If you keep reading in Luke chapter 2, the story of Simeon and Anna, who are priests in the temple, yeah. right? And they're just showing up every day, yep. right? Expecting. Like they don't, you know, and every day they're showing up just expecting, like, hey, this could be the day that the Messiah shows up, right? And what does it look like to just keep showing up
yeah.
with that kind of anticipation and like, where is God going to show up today? And, you know, if you read in Luke, you know, Jesus is presented in the temple, you know, on the eighth day, and they're there, like yep. they showed up. And so, and they get to hold, you know, you just get this picture of holding this, yeah. you know, the Messiah, this baby and the words that they say and this Thanksgiving that, you know, that this hope that they've had for their whole lives, but also that they carry generationally, right? Is realized
yeah.
in that moment. And Jesus has done nothing yet,
right? Just showed up.
Yeah. But just this sense of like they knew what they saw and they knew what they were experiencing yeah. because they lived in like that sort of anticipation yeah. and that sort of eagerness. And like, I'm like, oh, it's so challenging to me. Like, I want to show up, not just show up to work,
yeah.
but like show up in people's lives and show up in my own life in such a way that's like, hey, like my hope is that today, like, I'm going to encounter God right. in, you know, whatever yeah. might be in somebody or a circumstance yeah. or in creation. And I'm trying to orient like the posture of my heart and life around that.
Yeah.
So that's some of the things that stick out in my
yeah. mind. As you were talking, I was just thinking about, you know, we talk about how the kingdom has come and is still coming, right? It's an already, but yeah. not yet reality. And the world is broken, but yet we see God doing things. Mm-hmm. And that's, we'd call that like inbreaking of the kingdom of God. These spaces where the kingdom of God is like real and recognized and it's happening. We see it in transformation stories and yeah. stories of healing and, you know, otherwise what are we doing here? Right. Yeah. Like we want to see God move here and now. Yes, someday fully, but here and now. And so as you were talking, I was just thinking about, you know, we have anticipation and we have optimism and we have hope in people's lives and what mm-hmm. God's going to do because we believe that it can happen now. Mm-hmm. And it does. Mm-hmm. It might not happen every single time that we are hopeful for something to change or to be transformed, but it does happen. And so we lean into that and have our eyes open yeah. with optimism and expectation that God is going to move. And if he doesn't, mm-hmm. we know that someday mm-hmm. he will. Mm-hmm. Someday it will be complete. And mm-hmm. so we can hold both of those things.
Yeah. Tension. Yeah. Yeah. This idea of when Romans 8 talks about like all creation groans.
Yeah.
And like we, Paul says, who have the first fruits of the Spirit also groan inwardly. And I was thinking about as you were talking, like two types of groaning.
Yeah.
Right. There's like you know, the groaning of kids anticipating Christmas morning,
yeah.
like this kind of, like they, you know, like,
wait.
Yeah, like, yeah. but it's this like groan that comes yeah. from the sense of anticipation yeah. and excitement. And then also this groaning of like, things are still not the way yeah. they should be. Right. And so we carry, you know, both those types yeah. and thinking, especially about those that, carry hard stuff
yeah.
like in a season like this and, you know, a season where everybody has this outward sense of celebration. And yet so many of us carry this inward brokenness.
Right.
right? Yeah. And how do we be people of hope in, yeah. you know, when I am, you know, groaning because yeah. of the pain or the hurt
right.
or the darkness. And I think that's really challenging.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, like learning to hold both those things
yeah.
and recognizing that it's okay. Like if you feel, it doesn't mean you're hopeless, right?
Right.
It doesn't mean that like, because I feel the weight of sin or brokenness in my life that somehow I'm doing it wrong.
Right.
Right. That I can groan inwardly and yet like keep my eyes focused on God, yeah. you know, like someday you're going to make this yeah. right. And otherwise, what other hope do I have?
Yeah.
Right.
So, you keep showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like.
Yep. Simeon and Anna
yeah. just keep showing up and with expectation. And then when it happens, it's yeah. like, okay, God, like, and it gives you this, it just I feel like it propels me to keep going, mm-hmm. right? Like it helps mm-hmm. me to go, okay, you know, not all is lost. Like mm-hmm. you are at work. Yeah. And so I'm just going to keep showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. And the beauty of the body of Christ in those spaces, right? Where we, you know, Paul talks about in, you know, Galatians, right? But like we carry each other's burdens, yeah. right? That, you know, and so like we need it,
yep.
right? For those moments when, you know, the groan of anticipation, you know, shifts to the groan of lament, right? Yeah. Like where, like I need other people around yeah. me to say, hey, like we can keep going. Yeah. And I mourn with you and I rejoice with you. And
yeah, that it is how it's meant to be.
Yeah.
When there are seasons when I feel like, I don't know if I've got a whole lot of hope, mm-hmm. then other people carry me through that. And that's, it's meant to be that way. We are supposed to carry one another's burdens until we get to that space. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to hobble along with you through this season. Yeah. Trusting and I'll hold on to hope for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. I love how the Christmas story, maybe just kind of wrap it up, is, you know, again, is placed within the context of struggle.
Yeah.
Right? It's placed within the context of suffering. And I think God does that on purpose, yep. right? He had options, right?
Yep.
Like Jesus could have been born in the palace. Like yep. Jesus could have been born in Rome, yep. And you know, the seats of power. But that would be unrelatable,
right?
You know, to the vast majority of people. Yeah. And Jesus, you know, scripture says that at just the right time, like God knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And Jesus is born, in lowly conditions to a poor family in the middle of, you know, Roman occupation.
I'm going to talk a little bit about that right. Sunday.
So struggle yeah. and suffering. And in those spaces is where God shows up
yeah.
and where the light shines, yeah. you know. And so maybe just an encouragement for you listening today yeah. that no matter what you're going through, if you're flying high on hope and you're feeling really great about the season, that's awesome. And yep. and we celebrate that. And you know, that is great. Like that should be commended.
And don't feel guilty for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally. That's what I'm trying to say. yeah. I don't feel guilty for that. And if you're like, man, I'm struggling with hope today. I'm just reminded that it's in those spaces that God shows up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he shows up in the suffering, and Jesus was a man of sorrows, Isaiah tells us. And so, yeah. So you're not alone in those spaces. And we validate that as well, even in a season like this, and invite you to come out to Blue Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm on Sunday night at 6:00.
Yeah.
I think it would be, if you haven't come, it would be a healing, time for you, a comforting time for you.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And maybe if you are one of those people that's like, I'm feeling great, but you know someone in your life that's struggling, this is a great opportunity to just bring someone with you and sit with them
yeah.
in that, in anticipation of what God could do.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy first week of Advent.
Happy first week of Advent. We'll see you next Sunday as we jump into week 2. Peace.
Yeah.
Be awesome. Have a great week.
That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.